This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
And in some ways, it's quite a complex asset class in that the back of the napkin envelope calculation isn't as simple here, because you've got to really look into the demographics of the student. I have properties that have a large student component in them. And some of these are general mixed use as well, where you've got families, you've got students, and you've really struggled to figure out who is my market here. What am I trying to build? And value add components often pick a market and really cater to that market. Otherwise, if you end up trying to be everything to everyone, you have a lame, you know, very average offering. And also, I'm sure you appreciate, the operations are pretty key. You need good integrations with the university itself. We have a very big property in East Texas, and we have one of the largest swimming pools there. And we figured out, like, we have got to figure out a way to get the university to recommend us as a potential accommodation. We're right there, and have facilities that are student only, and eventually, you know, clear out and make it completely student, because that seems to be the value add component for it. It's not as simple as getting butts in beds and just applying an NOI. You've got to be strategic and think about the marketing. How do you appeal to students who are going to spend a few years of their lives here, or maybe a year? The other thing too, do you agree with the statement that in some ways student living is like a springboard into the co-living space, regarding the use of technology and the fact that it's more of a transient tenant rather than a permanent tenant?
That's a great question. And that the reason I created a concept right after understanding what student living is, called Live In. LIVEINN. And the idea was looking at real estate and understanding that, yeah, there is a plug and play environment here. So, and I'll answer your first question in a second, but you kind of triggered that kind of thing. And the idea was that I think the young professionals are in a much, almost an equivalent need for a plug and play solution within urban environment, which today we call co-living. I'm talking 2014, 15, that before the trend was coming up. And the idea was to take a building and create a brand pretty much of, you have a turnkey solution, you know how it's designed, you know how it looks, you know what you're getting, and you know what's the amenities you're getting from office spaces down below and coffee place and gym and everything you need, but in the middle of San Francisco, right? So for the urban young entrepreneurs or whatever entrepreneurs in general, like plug and play your life. And the reason it relates to what you said, your first question, is that I truly believe in branding. I believe branding is a very, very powerful kind of tool, which I don't mean necessarily high-end brand, or I think branding kind of what he does when you prepare for any venture, when you prepare for any effort that you're doing, you need to ask yourself, what are you doing it for? What does it serve? But also how you want to be kind of packaged, how you're going to be seen, how you're going to be delivered that kind of solution, right? And branding pretty much takes everything that you need to do from the idea all the way from the other side, getting the idea of how exactly they understand your product. That's why not a lot of people, and not a lot of people actually entrepreneur, and that's really surprised me, not putting a lot of attention on the story. And it's not about me putting myself out there, no, I have a cool brand. No, it's about me truly understanding, why am I doing what I'm doing? And what's the other person who's supposedly be my client or tenant or whatever, which is a client, what is he thinking when he's looking at me? And I think that, to your question about the tenant mix and everything, what I saw, as long as people know what to expect from my building, what they're getting from my building, and what are the A, amenities, B, services, C, cost associated with them living in my community, you can handle the mix. Because if you create that line of, this is who I am, this is what I provide you, and this is how much it's going to cost you, that kind of takes away a lot of the noise. My focus on student housing investment is location, because once you're a little bit further from the campus, you need to deal more with competition. Because why would I be in your building versus the other? Mine, specific ones where I'm literally across the street from the main campus. I'm literally, so location, because then I take away a lot of the comparison factors, because I'm the closest one to school. Now it's all about whether I'm affordable, convenient, and so on.
You know, it's interesting about location. At Bluefield Capital, we buy a lot of real estate, and we actually went the opposite direction. We, during the pandemic, there was a group in Columbia, Missouri, and they were a student housing group. And they had a portfolio of, you know, assets, and they decided because of the pandemic to start cutting the fat and getting rid of the assets that didn't make sense. And there was one asset that was miles and miles away from the University of Missouri, and they had tried to make it student housing. They put a shuttle in place. They put amenities. They did everything they could, and it just wasn't performing like everything else. And because they were so focused on student, this is the only way they could view the world. This is what they do, and they're the best at it. We came in and realized, wait a second, why is this student housing? We looked at the local occupancy rates, and it was 100% occupied, literally, for all the other, you know, multifamily apartments. And we realized, okay, the play here is to actually go the opposite direction, to turn it around. And you know what? If you look back in history, that was a very successful student accommodation up until competition started to emerge. And as competition emerges closer and closer to the central campus, the ones that are further away get hit really hard. Whereas in the early periods, if there isn't many choices, people will go further away. It's affordable, and you know, there's a shuttle there. So I just wanted to share that experience that you highlighted. Now, I want to dive in a bit about the customer discovery process that you went through to start Envoy. You clearly care a lot about CapEx and making sure you have the right amenities for the, you know, tenants. Envoy is sitting on numerous trends here. Talk to me through how you decided to start the company and went through the process of figuring out what to build and what need you're solving in the tenant base.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Part of the experience that we were looking into, what is needed as a property operator. We looked at different amenities, we looked at different solutions, but we were looking for something that really trigger a change both for the operator, the real estate operator, it's B, the tenant, lifestyle, quality, and affordability, and C, the environment. And we kind of looked at the idea that what obviously EV was becoming a reality. On the other hand, you see that infrastructure is not there yet and mindset is not there yet. On the other hand, that's on the car side, on the user side, we realized that people learning about student housing, but more so urban environment, which we kind of had some properties there as well, and we understood it perfectly. People don't own cars as much. You know, when Uber became that kind of big of a solution, and it's first time in history we can actually plan to get places without actually owning a car. You can get to A and B and C and D. You can do a cross-country kind of trip without literally owning a car. And obviously traffic jam is all that. So all that together created Envoy, where we believe that mobility and infrastructure should be integrated within community lifestyle. It should be part of a real estate operation, because the more we move forward, parking is not going to be needed as much. But on the other hand, people will own EVs or will share EVs. So you need to put A, infrastructure, and B, provide a solution in-house to have people move from one place to another. It's just part of the overall solution. So you have Uber, you have train, you have your legs, you have bikes, but you also can have a car when you need it. Now, in order to replace somebody's mindset of owning a car, you got to give him the closest experience that he needs, that he used to, by owning a car, which is independence, right at their doorstep. They understand the car, they feel the car, they know which car it is. It's not a zip car, that it's a random car that 1,000 people have been driving before. It's something they see every day, not necessarily using every day, but it's literally there at their doorstep. So Envoy made a lot of sense, providing mobility at your doorstep as an amenity that the building is offering to its tenant, like the pool, like the gym, showed as a very big opportunity to change all the variables that I just said, to help the climate of moving towards EVs, educate towards EVs, educate towards the infrastructure and how do you get around and range anxieties, B, provide access to transportation that is affordable and convenient, and C, having the building, having that amenity and enabling them attract tenants by offering that valuable amenity, but also create that differentiator and that in-house solution, which also generates data and revenue to them. Data is an important thing for all of the above, because at the end of the day, Envoy is about data, is about the ability to create a marketplace for mobility, is to use that captive audience that live in that building, provide them the mobility, start aggregating data of seeing what and how they use that, and then kind of start layering out with different mobility solutions. And for the developers, using one case study in one building for its tenants, now we can go to the city and say, hey, I don't need as much parking spaces in my new product, in your new project, because people are not using much ownership, car ownership. Look at the data that I have from that building, which helps them reduce parking. So
wait, you're just to rewind for a second. You've got a two-sided marketplace, to be very crude. You've got the vehicles, you've got the users, you've got to make sure they're balanced, but you use developers as your distribution mechanism, which is the beautiful thing with prop tech. In real estate, you can leverage property management or HOA to get access to all of the user base inside of a building. And usually you would think the pitch is, we're offering an amenity to your users, but I just heard you say you're fundamentally changing the unit economics by allowing them to reconfigure space, by showing that you don't need all of this vacant space that's currently being used for parking. You can build more profitable, you can build something else rather than parking, essentially, right? And then you can go to the
energy related stuff. Yeah.
Right. Sorry. Your fourth stakeholder is the city and the government too. There's no secret. The secret's already out in the bag here with regards to the insane amounts of government funding and the infrastructure plans that are going towards EV. Talk to us about that. Has that been a big mover for the industry?
Yeah, I think the current administration, but all throughout Envoy from 2016-17, we've seen a lot, especially in California, a lot of grants and programs that are being created in order to push EVs and EV adoptions. We're lucky or fortunate enough to be part of the California Energy Commission, that we kind of won a grant to provide transportation like Envoy to disadvantaged communities and low-income housing, educate them towards EVs, range anxieties and all that. And then a couple other programs, but now we're doing with like Oklahoma City, Anaheim Utility Company. So there's a lot of programs out there that are government-related that are pretty much pushing EV adoption. And the shared mindset with you don't need a car. There is a shared car here. Use it. It's electric. What does it mean? Where do I charge it? And so on. I think one of the key advantages we have as a company is the technology and the community team and the customer care team that pretty much use that captive audience and pretty much educate towards everything we just said and promote that kind of usage. And we see an increase of usage all around. So yes, government is really leaning heavy into both infrastructure, but also EV. Real estate is just getting there. The real estate mindset was, in the first 2 years, we had to always argue, tell a story. Why do you need Envoy? Why do you need mobility as an amenity? Why EVs? Why infrastructure? And which is okay. It's part of evolution of a product. Now, luckily, we are in a place where everybody understands that, and they see the future, and they see the present and the future. And you said it correctly. Working with portfolio companies can unlock multiple location and needs kind of at the same time. So it's the private sector and the public sector that are moving very heavily towards that change that we're talking about. I think it's just the beginning, honestly, from what I'm seeing. I think everything we know about energy-related stuff or mobility is changing. Think about it. The car is a battery on wheels which takes electricity but can also provide electricity. What the trend is to say V2G, but it's actually V2B, vehicle to building, because you don't necessarily want to deal with the grid. But the idea is that if you have 10 Teslas in a building, all of a sudden you become an energy source to that building. So those things, speaking of changing use of like overlook of space, those kind of things are what the future will bring, all the way to autonomous cars, analyzing the usage, the data, the needs, the locations. That becomes kind of part of an ecosystem that helps people move around in an efficient way, and also help the grid or the electricity that the world needs for those millions of cars that are coming our way that needs energy to kind of have that solution. I don't think we're there yet, but we're heading to that.
I couldn't say earlier, I'd say the right time is when you started the company, but back in 2016, 2017, How did you think the industry would mature versus the way it has? Do you think things took a long time to get off? Because you've described where we are today. 6-7 years later is still very early, right? And it's interesting when you think about prop tech, there's a lot of trends that we think need to happen, but they happen in the grand scheme of things quite slowly. You know, 6 or 7 years is a long time for a founder. And that's quite, you know, into the later stages of a startup's life cycle. You know, and I'm assuming most startup founders, you know, run the company 6, 7, 10 years. There's usually an IPO and exit, or, you know, rarely it turns into a 20-year thing. And by that point, you know, it's a massive company. You're 6, 7 years now. Walk us back. When you started in 2016, 2017, are you happy with how fast the industry has moved, or has it been too slow for your patience?
If I can, we are, wow, that's now that you're putting numbers behind it. Yeah, no, we kicked off in January 17. So let's say 5.5 years. But just for me feeling younger a bit for a second. But I think I love that question, because if you remember in 1819 or 1920, when like Bird and Lime and everybody were like going out with thousands of assets, dropping them with no real kind of like whatever. I don't want to talk about other companies, but valuations were like insane. Everybody was raising insane amount of monies, and everybody talked about the hockey stick that I kind of, but they use that word in a non-relevant kind of spaces, because hockey stick that cannot apply. I believe in an asset heavy or an asset operated environment. It's more of a digital thing. And it's not an excuse for my lack of hockey stick kind of performance. It's really when there's something that relates to operation and people and assets, hockey stick is like, unless you have billions of dollars to distribute those assets in the first day, you cannot expect an hockey stick. It's not pushing a button and now I'm exposed to millions of people. But not to say that one is not scalable as the other, it's just a different mechanism to get to that solution. Yes, Envoy is one of those ventures that takes time. And we knew it from the beginning. We took upon ourselves the longer, harder way, because we truly believed we were making a change. It's one of those things, we need to unlock building after building, quote unquote, right? Working with portfolio company that owns, we currently have about 15%. We have access to about 15% of the overall market, which is insane. It's tens of thousands of buildings. Working with those portfolio companies that we slowly, slowly aggregated and start operating in. So when we got into it, we never expected to be like 2-3 years in thousands of locations and all that. We knew it's a long ride. We knew, but since we wanted to make a change, and we wanted to be in standardizing mobility as an amenity within communities, we knew that it's the 3 to 5 years to get to that thing. COVID did two things for us. One, the world stopped for 2 years, right? or a year and a half. But for us, it actually proved everybody stopped. And we were in the middle of fundraising, and then it stopped there. And we had to go through some survivability kind of talk about wartime CEO. It's kind of was like the fact that we survived and we thrived was one of the biggest challenges and things that I'm proud of the team. But COVID actually proved how much Envoy is needed. How much people rely on us and their doorstep because they don't need the cars to go to work. How much real estate properties use Envoy to keep their tenants in place, even though they're not paying rent or cannot pay rent because we give them access to mobility now. So COVID on one hand created a market fit in its best kind of core and proved the model that we were going after. But on the other hand, it slowed things down because of the uncertainty of people adding more and more stuff. So it was a weird mix, but the outcome of the mix was that it was a successful mix. So it was positive overall influence than the thing.